Let's pray. Jesus, please open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Do speak to us, we ask, and touch us with your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 11. We are going through the I Am statements, and like I said, today we are on the seventh and last of the I Am statements that Jesus made. So once again, John chapter 11. Few things hit us as hard as the death of a loved one. When someone we love dies, he or she rips out a part of us and takes it with them. And we grieve. Sometimes, oh, how we grieve. In time, the pain lessens a bit, but it never really goes away, does it? Not completely. And there are so many things that remind us of that person. And of course, the more we love the person, the more we grieve. Thankfully, when Jesus died for you and me, and then rose again, he conquered sin and death. And that's the real message of Easter. Because he rose, we too, those of us who have believed in him, will rise on the last day and be with him forever. The I Am statement we're looking at today is in verse 25 and 26. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So let's look at our text. This is actually the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And if we are honest, sometimes we blame God when our loved one dies, don't we? We know he can intervene and heal when he chooses. So when he doesn't choose to do so, sometimes we get a little miffed. Especially if we feel that the person has died, quote, before their time. I wonder if Mary and Martha felt that way in our text today. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their two sisters and a brother, were dear friends of Jesus. They lived in Bethany, which was near Jerusalem. Jesus would often stay with them when he came to Jerusalem. And it was Mary, verse 2, who anointed Jesus' feet with ointment and then wiped those feet with her hair. So there was a unique, precious relationship between the three and Jesus. And now Lazarus was sick and close to dying. So in verse 3, the sisters sent for Jesus. However, according to verse 6, when Jesus received the message, instead of rushing there to save Lazarus, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Meanwhile, Lazarus died. It almost seemed as if Jesus didn't care. Can you relate? Most of us have probably lost a loved one for whom we have prayed fervently. And some of those people, as I said, died long before their time, as far as we were concerned. We thought, we hoped, we had prayed that God would heal them. But he didn't. He did, however, heal other people's loved ones. Why theirs and not ours? Of course, appearances can be deceiving. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come and save Lazarus. He tarried. Lazarus died. It appeared as if Jesus didn't care. But Jesus was simply doing something that transcended saving Lazarus before he died. He had already planned to raise him from the dead. So he told his disciples in verse 5 that it was time to go to Bethany. And then he said, verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples did not understand that Lazarus was dead. So Jesus said plainly in verse 14, Lazarus has died. And they still did not understand, however, that when he said he was going to awaken Lazarus, that he was going to raise him from the dead. God's ways are not our ways, are they? We have what we think should happen. God has a different plan, and we often don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand why certain babies die. Someone they're a day old, week old, month old. I don't claim to know why thousands die from starvation when God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. Or why an upright teen is killed by a drunk who lives to drive again and drink again. I don't pretend to understand that. And I certainly do not understand why when we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, God sometimes does not heal the one for whom we're praying. His ways are not our ways. It's often at this point that our faith is tested. We want to know why God permitted our father or mother or our brother or sister, our husband or wife, our children, our good friend. We want to know why God permitted them to die. But God typically does not explain his actions to us, does he? Instead, he asks us to trust him. And to Mary's credit, I think she did. I said Mary, Martha's credit. To Martha's credit, I think she did. Verse 17, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. The 4 days is significant. Some of the Jews believe that the spirit of man hovered near the body for 3 days and then departed on the fourth. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural, but that's what some of them believed. And John wanted everyone to know that Lazarus was dead. Dead, period. And could not be raised again. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, verse 20, she ran out to meet him. And she said to him, and this is where I think we see her faith, verse 21 and 22. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You could have saved him, she said. I believe that. But then this next verse is even more profound. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I've been praying for you to come and heal Lazarus. I know you could have. You didn't. But even now, whatever you ask of him, God will give you. It almost sounds as if she was expecting Jesus to raise him from the dead. That's faith. It's kind of like fathers with their kids. I think every father does this. It's probably in the father handbook. You pick up your kid, you turn him upside down, you hang him upside down, you flip him around, you throw him up, and the kid thinks it's wonderful. They're not afraid. They're in all kinds of crazy positions, but they just trust their father, right? That's how Martha was. She just trusted Jesus, as we should as well. And then Jesus reminded Martha of our true hope, our ultimate hope. And some of this we read already, but 23 through 27, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What is our ultimate hope? What is our true hope? That at the end of the age, verse 23, we will rise again, that we will be resurrected. And why can we hope this? Verse 25, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because, verse 27, he is the Christ, the Son of God. And we have put our trust in him. So because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that we who have trusted in him will rise in our turn at the end of the age. Not because we deserve to be resurrected, but by his grace. So let's step outside our text for a moment. Let's slow down for a moment. And think about what awaits those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Presently, you and I We age and we die. From the moment we're born, we begin to die. But we will be raised, 1 Corinthians 15:42, imperishable, never to die again. Presently, we are tainted and broken by sin. 1 Corinthians 15:43, we will be raised in power. Presently, we are trapped in a fallen body. We will be raised, 1 Corinthians 15:44, in a spiritual body. And in all this will happen, just as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a twinkling of an eye, in just an instant. And then at that point in time, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 16, we will be reunited with all the saints who have gone before us and live forever with Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself, Revelation 21:4, will wipe away every one of our tears. Death will be no more. There'll be no more mourning, crying, or pain. All those former things will have passed away. Imagine a world where there's only good, and lots of it. Think of the best moments in your life. And those will be, I don't want to say the worst moments in heaven, but the best moments in all of heaven will be better than our best moments here on earth. So think of a lifetime where every moment of your life is as good as the best moments you have right now. Think of a world where every relationship is healthy, where we always treat each other with respect and treat each other the way we want to be treated. Hard to even imagine, isn't it? Think of a world where there's no disease or famine or war. Think of a world where our bodies won't ache when we wake up in the morning. Take us a while to get it going again. And imagine seeing God in his glory, beholding the wonder that he is. How could anything be better than all of that? Life here on earth is often good, and our walk with Christ here on earth is very good, but it's nothing compared to what is yet to come. Nothing in comparison. And that's what's awaiting us because of today, because Jesus rose from the grave. Now, of course, knowing that we will see our loved ones again if they believed in Christ, and that we will be resurrected with them, that doesn't mean it still doesn't hurt when we lose our loved ones. But even though we grieve, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Jesus stood outside Lazarus' tomb and he wept. We lose our loved ones, we weep. But we know, if they have trusted in Christ, we will see them again. Mary Pickford compared this whole process, I think, in a very beautiful way. This was back in the day of the sailing ships. She pictured this whole process of losing our loved ones to a sailing ship leaving the harbor. And some of us are on the shore and we watch that sailing ship go, and as it goes further and further, it gets smaller and smaller. And then finally, it just looks like a little cloud on the horizon for a moment or two. The sails look just like a little cloud on the horizon, and then it's gone. And those of us who are on the shore, we say, there it goes. Meanwhile, there are other people on the other shore to where the ship is going, and they're eagerly watching for that ship. And then finally, the day comes and the ship is supposed to arrive and they're watching for it. And then they see what looks like a little cloud on the horizon and they watch it, and that cloud becomes a ship, a little ship, and it gets bigger and bigger. And finally they recognize it as the ship that our loved ones are on. And what do they say? Here it comes. Isn't that the way it is when our loved one dies? We stand here in our grief and we say, there he goes. There she goes. Meanwhile, those people that are in heaven, what do they say? Here he comes. Here she comes. And they rejoice. And then there's this. When the thief on the cross asked Jesus to remember him when he entered paradise, Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. So we know that as soon as we die, we go in our spirit to be with Jesus in paradise. Later he resurrects us bodily, but as soon as we die, we go to be with him in our spirit. I've often wondered when Jesus in verse 43 called Lazarus forth from the tomb. And of course, as soon as he called Lazarus forth from the tomb and out comes Lazarus, you can imagine the joy of Mary and Martha and those who loved Lazarus. The one who was dead was raised up again, and here they have their family member back. But I have often wondered, was it hard for Lazarus to return to earth? If for just one moment we caught a real vision of what paradise is like, what being with Jesus in our spirit is like, I doubt that we would ever begrudge our loved ones going there ahead of us. Now, one quick comment. Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life, meaning he is the only one who can resurrect us and grant us true life. Our souls are eternal. Everyone will exist forever. But if we are not connected to Jesus Christ, that is eternal existence, but not eternal life. True life is only found connected to Jesus Christ. So far from eternal life, those who are not connected to Jesus, they will have eternal existence, but not eternal life. And what is eternal existence apart from Christ? It's hell. It's hell. So make sure you have turned to Jesus in faith. Christ is the resurrection and the life. We know this because he rose from the grave. And because Jesus rose, we now have hope. And what a hope it is, that if we have trusted in him, he will raise us up on the last day, and we will live with him forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross to save us from our sin and rising again on our behalf. We trust in you, Lord. Resurrect us on the last day. In your name, amen.